Welcome to the Simple Gospel Church podcast, raising a generation that will stand for Christ.
So this morning, we will be looking at the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 12, from verse 1 to the end. Proverbs chapter 12, from verse 1 to the end. And you can agree with me that when you are looking for a book that talks about wisdom for living, wisdom for life, you can always make reference to the book of Proverbs. So this morning, we'll be looking at the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs is actually a book, you know, it's a collection of the words of wisdom by a king, a very popular king in the Bible, King Solomon, and then some other words of wisdom. So it's very essential for us to look at this book. Why is it essential for us? It's because we are winding up the year, right? And also, we are projecting into a new year. So it's very essential for us to go to do whatever we need to do to make our plans in wisdom. So it's very important for us to look at this book of Proverbs so that this can guide us in everything we do. And the Lord will help us as we look into His word in Jesus' name. So Proverbs chapter 12 from verse 1 to 28. It says, "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. He that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beasts, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. The wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that acteth unto counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. Amen. So we can tag this the whole of this scripture the passage to instructions for righteous living or wisdom for maintaining a righteous life. All right, so instructions for righteous living. I will talk about wisdom for maintaining a righteous life. Now, when we talk about instruction, you'll see the opening scripture from verse 1. If you look at that verse 1 very well, it talks about instruction, right? It says that whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. Whoso loveth instruction. So what is instruction? Instruction is typically a direction, you know, that you need to comply with. A guide, you know, something that is set as a guide that you need to comply with so that you can have the intended result. So that's instruction. Instructions are orders to be carried out. Amen. And we see the word of God as the script, as the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, say all scriptures are God breathed, right? So all scriptures they come from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, right? God breathed. And you said they are useful for, we can have it on the screen, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Let's have it. You said all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in what? In righteousness. So that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. So if we are looking for instructions for righteousness, if we are looking for wisdom to maintain a righteous life, we can look nowhere than the Word of God, because that is the embodiment of the instruction that is needed to guide us through life, throughout our life. The Word of God is a guide, is an instruction for us. And for us, we don't have an alternative to obeying God's word, because they were written for us and they are written to us. So we are bound to obeying the word of God. If we really want to live a good life, if we really want to live a righteous life, right, the word of God is actually what we need as a guide. So we talk about instructions for righteous living or wisdom for maintaining a righteous life. And what is wisdom? What comes to you when it comes to wisdom? What do you think wisdom is? A lot of people will say wisdom is the application of what? Knowledge, right? Application of what you know and what you understand, and then you practice it, you apply it. So you know, that is wisdom in a way. And you know, if you look at wisdom from the word of God, the Bible says that it said wisdom is profitable to direct, you know. And we talk about instruction, Wisdom is profitable to direct. It's profitable to guide us through our lives. That's Ecclesiastes 10:10. So, if we look at the Word of God again, about talking about wisdom, it said wisdom is, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, right? The fear of God, that's the beginning of wisdom. So, the Word of God tells us where we can actually get wisdom. And that is through the fear of God. And when we talk about the fear of God, we are not talking about being frightened by God, being afraid, because it will be contradictory if that the meaning of the fear of God is being afraid. Because Jesus, in the scripture, according to people who have done research from the scripture, it said we have the word fear not 365 times in the Bible, right? So, which means that it should guide you through the year. Or is it 355 or 365 or 366 thereabout? So, it should guide you through the year that you should fear not. So, if God is telling you not to fear, right? So, what is the fear of God? The fear of God is actually a reverential fear. It talks about a reverential fear, acknowledging the person of God. Knowing that God is, and obeying Him. That's the fear of God. Referencing God, acknowledging Him, factoring Him into whatever you want to do, putting Him first in whatever you do. That's the fear of God. Knowing that God is and is a rewarder. That's the fear of God. And that's what the Bible says is the beginning of what? Wisdom. So, and you know, this wisdom is actually profitable to direct. And Proverbs 1:7 also talks about that fear of God as the beginning of wisdom. So if you read further, you'll also come across Proverbs 9:10, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And so also the knowledge of God through His word is the only way to gain wisdom, obviously. And you know, Job 28:28 also says that, but to man he says that, behold, the fear of the Lord is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. These are the words of God. These are the references to wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. To depart from evil is understanding. That's Proverbs. Job 28:28 rather. No. So, we are also further admonished that wisdom, is a principal thing, and we need to get it. It's a principal thing that needs to be gotten. So the Bible admonished us to do what? To get wisdom. Get wisdom is the principal thing. When you say something is the principal thing, that is the chief thing that you need for life, for this life. You need wisdom. So he said, with all you're getting, make sure with wisdom, get understanding. Get understanding. And that book of Job 28:20 talks about that to depart from evil is understanding. Departing from evil is understanding. So in this book of Proverbs, it's actually distinguished between the righteous and the wicked. There is a contrast made between the righteous and the wicked. So when we read through that Proverbs 12, you will see a lot of reference to the righteous, the upright, and the rest. And so, if we talk about righteousness or the righteous, a righteous person, who is a righteous person? What is righteousness? Who is a righteous person? Okay, let me have a contribution here now. All right, Pastor, let me give him the mic.
I believe righteousness is essentially one who is standing in the right before God. So when God looks upon a person, the person is not seen to be in contradiction with his will and or laws. That's what I'll define a righteous person should be.
Right. All right. Another person. A righteous person or righteousness. Other contribution? Buki wants to say something. She's smiling.
A righteous person is somebody whose way is right before the Lord and does not sin.
All right. His way is right before the Lord, does not sin. Okay. So, who else has something about righteousness? Or I should call him. Maybe I should tell JB to tell me something about righteousness. Please, let me give it to him. He too was smiling. So, let him talk.
Right standing before God.
Right standing before God. Right. All right. So, yeah. Righteousness is, you know, the quality of being in the right. The opposite of being right is wrong, right? So once you know the opposite of something, you know, okay, this is right. Okay. So, and, you know, if you define it by, you know, by the way, the way of the world, or in this earthly time, or in secular time, you know, righteousness to them is, you know, to be morally correct. You know, you are justifiable before the law. You are justifiable, you know, and you know, you are upright. Someone who obey the rules. You go by the rules, you obey the rule, and you are in the right. You know. Something just popped up in my mind, you know. Most times there are a lot of things we see while we're walking or where we're driving, or you're in a bus along the road, and you know, you see somebody who eats another person, right? The next thing is to see who is in the right, and the one who is in the wrong. Okay, so you see, it's something that righteousness is something that even the people of the world, actually, it's something they like to tend towards. So it's not just something for us as believer, but of course for us as believer, we know what righteousness really is. And so you know, righteousness being the quality of being right, you know, in the eyes of God, in your character, that's in your nature, in your conscience, and when you talk about character, you talk about the person's nature, and when you talk about conscience, you're talking about the person's attitude and conduct, talk about action, and in your command, that's the words that you speak out of your mouth. So righteousness is, you know, is based on God's standard, because God is the ultimate lawgiver. He's the one who gives the law. Every law that man is actually following, or man tends to set up, is actually from the Ten Commandments. Everywhere, if you look everywhere, talk about the law. The law originated from Moses. The moral law, the civil law, and the rest of them. That's where they are gotten from. And so who gave Moses the law? It was God. So God is a lawgiver. So it doesn't matter however the world sees righteousness. the best way to still define righteousness is through the angle of God, through the eyes of God. So righteousness to God, on the part of God, let's talk. Look at righteousness on the part of God. Righteousness on God's part is his own faithfulness to his covenant. Right. All right. So, you know, is a covenant keeping God. We call him covenant keeping God and like that. So, you know, God acts righteously when he performs the saving deeds for his people. When he saves his people, that's the covenant. You know, that covenant of salvation, if you look at the book of Genesis, when man fell and God was actually dishing out the consequence, you know, part of it was a redemption plan. There was a redemption promise that the seed of the woman is going to bruise the head of the serpent and the serpent will bruise the heel. So it's actually a promise that God made, and it was a covenant to him. So in his own righteousness, he has to fulfill it. So if you look at the way righteousness is as in the Christian world, as to us as a Christian today, you will see that it has something to do with our salvation. Right? Yeah. When we got saved, we become righteous. Because invariably, there is no man that can actually stand before God justified in himself. No man. And the Bible talks about the righteousness of a man in Isaiah 46 verse 13. He says, all our righteousness are what? Like a filthy rag. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He said, there is no one that is righteous. No, not one. It was God that said it. That there is no righteous person on earth. God looked at everyone on the head and said that nobody is righteous. So, it can only take God himself through his own righteousness to make a man righteous. And, you know, you can see that in 1 Corinthians 1, 30 to 31, where the Bible says that it is of God are we in Christ Jesus. Who of God has been made to us? Righteousness, salvation, wisdom. See, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. 31. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. He said, let no one glory in himself as being righteous. Because our righteousness is nothing to him. So let our righteousness be the one that God himself has given to us. The one he made provision for by himself. Through the death, the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. That is where our righteousness lies. So when we talk about a righteous man, he's a man that has been made righteous through the blood of Jesus. Is a man who has accepted what God did by sending Jesus to the earth, and he believed that Jesus came and he died, and on the third day he rose again. So that is where righteousness lies in. So it's actually very important for us to also know that this righteousness is gotten through faith. The Bible says it is by grace we were saved. Through what? Through faith. It is not of our own self, but it is his own gift. So today, righteousness has become a gift from God to man. Who of God has been made to us wisdom and righteousness? Jesus has been made of God to us wisdom. He has been made of God to us righteousness. And so we don't glory in our own self-righteousness. We glory in his own righteousness. We glory in this, in the redemption that he did for us. We glory in the sanctification that we got through his blood. The Bible says that in him we have redemption through his blood. We have the forgiveness of sins. No man can be justified or declared righteous before God without going through having the experience of salvation. So any man in the world today, no matter who the person is, no matter how good or how the man can observe the law and keep the law, it's not by the function of that. It's by the function of the righteousness of God himself. Because God is the lawgiver himself. He's the one who gave the law by himself. And he's the one who said that by virtue, by reason of his law, nobody can be justified. No man. He's the one that summarized everything to the fact that no man is righteous. He's the one. So it can only take him also to justify a man and to declare a man righteous. Amen. Amen. So that is our righteousness. That is the righteousness we have today. So, and looking at the book of Proverbs chapter 12, coming back to the book of Proverbs chapter 12 now, you know, we now see a contrast between the upright or the righteous and the wicked. So now we have the knowledge of who a righteous man is, and of course, when I started, I said that this book of Proverbs is actually there are instructions for the righteous man to maintain a righteous life. So these are the instructions. The instruction is, he said, the first thing he said is that, that's from verse 1. Just give me that verse 1 again. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. So, we actually need to love instruction, because instructions are good. They are good for us to maintain the righteous life. And also, when we talk about this righteousness, I just want to talk a bit about righteousness again. You know, we have the righteousness as what we receive by faith when we believed. Then we have the righteousness, the outward show or the outward sign of the inward belief, the inward faith. We have the positional righteousness, and we have the outward righteousness, or the heart of the positional righteousness. So now that we have been made right with God, it's not that we just received the gift of righteousness and we became righteous. There must be an evidence. There must be an evidence. The Bible says that a good tree produces what? Good fruits. There must be works. Because faith without work is dead. How can a man be known as a child of God or as a Christian without you showing the work or the works of a Christian belief? If you don't, then it defies the purpose. The Bible says that the apostles were first called Christians in Antioch, right? They were called Christian, not because they named themselves Christians, but the people of Antioch saw that these people, they are like Christ. They are following the pattern of Christ. And so they named them because of their, you know, their disposition, because of their attitude, and because of their behavior, their character that they portrayed due to the inward faith. Then it showed up, and when it showed up, it earned them the name as a Christian. Or how will you call a man a good man if he is actually not doing the good deeds, right? So it goes hand in hand. It's just that we don't need to put the cart before the horse. God needs to have justified us. We need to have been made righteous with God. We need to have gotten a right standing with God. We need to have been justified through the finished work of Christ before the good works come. But reverse is the case for the people of the world. They actually want to use their good deeds to buy their salvation. Amen. But for us, it's not like that. So this book of Proverbs are instructions. They are instructions for, and it says that he that loves instruction loves knowledge, but he that hates instruction is stupid. He simply put it, stupid. But to be stupid means that somebody without insight, somebody who is living in darkness and he doesn't even know what he's doing, and at any time he can perish or he can get destroyed. That is who a stupid person is. If somebody calls a person stupid, it's actually not kind of you are being abused, or but it's actually how will I put it now? It's an action. It's the behavior or something that actually makes a man stupid. Whatever the man is doing is what makes him stupid. Okay? So anyone that rejects instruction is stupid. Is a stupid man. Because these are instructions for wisdom, for living. Living the right life that we need to live. And so when we look at the verse 2 now continued, and it says that a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. You know? Favor attracts a good man, or a good man attracts favor. It's a byproduct of being good. Favor. He obtains favor from the Lord. So when you stand in the righteousness that God has placed you in, automatically you will have what God has for a good man. That's favor. The favor of God follows you. So it's important to look at these instructions, to allow these instructions to guide us, and also to, you know, to be obedient, because obedience to us is not an option. Obedience to the word of God is not an option to us. It's something that we have to do. And remember that is disobedience that actually brought the corruption that is in the world today. It's disobedience. The consequences of evil that we have in the world today was caused by disobedience. So if disobedience brought about evil, how much more if we can just obey the instructions of God? How good, how profitable will it be to us? If you can allow the word of God to guide us. So if you read through this book of Proverbs chapter 12, you will see that it actually talks about the character of a righteous man. You see the character of a righteous man. In fact, it talks to the point that it says a righteous man is so merciful. You know, a character is actually a nature. A character is a nature, which, you know, when we talk about the nature of righteousness, it takes a Christian, a child of God, a person who has believed the redemption of Christ, who God has made righteous, you know, to have that nature. So as a result, the character of a righteous man is actually a nature to him. That's his personality. That's the attribute. That's the identifiable attribute of a righteous man. All right? So, it talks about the character of the righteous, that the righteous is so merciful that even if to even his pets, to even his animals, to even kill, to hurt a fly is something to him. I've had Pastor Femi say one day that as he was praying, he saw an ant, and he looked at the ant very well. He had stepped on it, and he now said, "Come on, I just stepped on this thing, and I can't make this thing, and I just destroyed life." You know, he has a kind of remorse that, Kai, this thing I did is, though it's not that he has committed a sin, right? God has placed everything. He has given us all those things. It's for us. They are all for us. They are created for us, all the animals. But, you see, a righteous man is so merciful by nature that to do evil to an animal self is something to him. He can't even do it. It hurts him because he has the nature. It's a nature to him. That is who he is. So he goes on and on and on and talks about the nature of a good man. So, what that means for us is that we need to extray our life from, you know, from the Word of God. We allow the Word of God to extray us, to penetrate into our lives. So, if we are seeing ourselves, if we are seeing ourselves wanting in any of these attributes or this character, then we can just have a kind of rethink. We can have a check, because it takes a righteous man to walk with God. I don't need to talk about righteousness. We already know what righteousness is. It takes a righteous man to walk with God, to have fellowship with God. It takes a righteous man. And a righteous man is a man of faith. Bible says the just shall live by what? By faith. You can't separate faith from a righteous man. And Hebrews 11:6 says that, but it is impossible to please God without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that must come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's a rewarder. Both of them that diligently seek him and them that don't seek him. He said, I come quickly and my reward is with me to give unto every man according as his work. Every man, whether you are a Christian or not, is a judge. And we are all going to stand before him. So it's important for us to extract our life from his word and align our lives, pattern our lives according to his word, so that our life can reflect the righteousness that God is actually looking for. A lot of people just feel that these people of hyper grace just feel that once saved is forever saved. Because I'm saved forever, so I can live carelessly, I can do whatever I like. No, it's not like that. Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Say, God forbid. So why did Jesus die? So a man who has received salvation and who has been made right with God and is of this hyper grace, from this hyper grace school of thought, and is living a careless life, actually is actually defying or defeating the purpose of the redemption which Christ came to pay for. So we can't afford to live our lives carelessly. And that's why this book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, is actually handed to us, so that this can guide our lives. So that these instructions can help us to live in wisdom. It's important for us to actually finish strong. It's good for us to finish strong. You know, the Bible says that there is a saying that the person who start the walk is actually not, you know, is not the one that gets the reward, but the person who start it and finish it. You know, Jesus said that there is no one that puts his hand on the plow and looks back. It's fit for the kingdom of God. So we have started well being a Christian. You started well, you had the gospel, you believed. Yes, you started well. But it is a race. And in a race, everyone run to do what? To obtain the prize. We are all running to obtain the prize. And one thing with this, our race, is that it's not a competitive race. So you are not competing with any man. You are not competing with your brother. Because when we come to God's kingdom, we become a family. And we come into a kingdom. And we are running a race in this kingdom. And our brother is not our competitor. We are not running to compete with any man. Your only competition is yourself. You are competing with yourself. Competing with your old and your new self. Where you were before, in the past, today, if you look at your life, are you still the same person? Do you understand now? So it's a competition. It's a self-competitive race that we've entered into, and which needs discipline. We need to extract our life through the word of God. We need to live a disciplined life. And of course, we are called disciples, right? And the word disciple is actually taken from the word discipline. From the word discipline. A man who cannot take discipline, who cannot take correction, he's a man that is heading for destruction. So it's wise for us to take God's discipline, to take God's correction. Just like we read in that 2 Timothy. The word of God is God breathed. It's given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for correction, for discipline, so that we can become a perfect man. Man that is thoroughly furnished for every what? Every good work that God wants us to do. He said we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus, recreated in Christ Jesus unto every good works. The reason why we are saved is unto good works. So we mustn't lose sight of these things. And so we need to extray our life. We need to look at the wisdom of God and begin to apply it from the scripture. And ultimately, the Bible talks about godliness. It said godliness is all gain, with nothing to lose. You have nothing to lose living a godly life. He said it has a reward for this present life and in the life to come. So why won't we live a godly life? It's all gain, nothing to lose. If something is all gain and I don't have anything to lose, it means that I can invest my life into it. I can put my everything into it, knowing that this thing will not fail. The Bible says we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us serve God with godly fear, with reverence. See, for our God is a consuming fire. A consuming fire means our God is a judge. It's a consuming fire. So we need to maintain, we need to continue this life of righteousness by allowing the word of God, you know, to be our guide. And maintaining our righteous life also has to do with our continual fellowship with Him. Fellowshipping with Him. We mustn't lose any time of fellowship with God, with the Father, because He's the one who made us righteous. And so the more we fellowship with Him, then the more He has access to our lives, to see our lives and to remove those things that we don't even know that is there in our lives, and remove them and trash them and say, this one, you don't need to go with this one, drop it. This one, you don't need to go with it, drop it. Because we must be made into a perfect man. What kind of church do you think Jesus is coming for? It's a church without spot or wrinkle. A perfect church. That is what He's coming for. So we must continue. Our perfection is actually a progressive one. It must progress. And that is why we are looking at the scripture, this book of Proverbs, so that we can maintain our righteous lives through the word of God by wisdom. Wisdom is needed. And the Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this message. The Simple Gospel Church is a church arm of World Impact Ministries, dedicated to taking the gospel all over the world.